A lot going on. There's a lot going on. So just a lot to be praying about here. And, I don't know about you, but last Wednesday I know was a pretty heavy night. It just seems like the heaviness hasn't lifted. Keep Brother Joe Fogle in prayer. I guess he had to go to the hospital again this morning. Brother Craig was telling me he was very dizzy and trouble walking around. And I'm wondering if it was him laying down so much since the eye surgery. Messed up his equilibrium, and so he's supposed to go back tonight at like 10 to get an MRI. So he's been there since this morning. So just keep them in prayer. They've really been going through it, have a lot going on. And their son Derek. Amen. Brother Glenn, can you start the prayer, brother?
Sure. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege, this honor, being able to be in your house to many people. They come and they maybe resignation, but we get to come to church, and we're so thankful that we can be in your presence. Father God, I pray that what you've laid on Pastor's heart, Father God, I pray that you give us ears to hear and circumcise our hearts, that Father God, that we absorb everything that's being taught to us tonight. Father God, meet with us here this evening. I pray, Lord, for your unction again on Pastor. And I ask you, Father God, to speak through him in a tremendous way. We give your brother Joe Koval, and I ask you, Father God, to just preside over him, over what the doctors are doing. I ask you, Father God, to wrap your loving arms around our dear precious brother, and I ask you, dear God, to touch him, to make him well, to heal him, that he come back amongst the flock. And again, we'll read it all along. And Lord, the pastor's saying is truth. It seems like such a heavy time. God's people are suffering and hurt. I ask you, Father God, to just be with your people. Pray, Lord, that you, as you are the horn and our buckle, Father God, I pray you'd strengthen each one. Lift them up and comfort them and draw them into your bosom. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All right. How is everybody tonight?
All right.
Hopefully less tired than I'm feeling. Working in this heat, your rains, the energy right out of your body. All right, well, if you would, please stand with me, turn to page 530, sing A Shelter in the Time of Storm.
Oh, Lord, our God, in him we hide.
announcements I have on Sunday. I do appreciate everybody's prayers for the funeral on Monday. I believe the Lord definitely gave liberty concerning the circumstances. It was just a blessing to, sometimes you're in a situation like that, it's hard when you get ready to preach. I'd rather preach in a prison. I'd rather preach in a prison than a funeral of people I don't know. Especially when it's religious. That's the hard part right there, when it's religious. And especially when it's a religion that you're contrary to, what you believe. But definitely believe the Lord gave liberty there. And just pray for individuals there, that they think about their souls and where they stand with God concerning eternity. And that they have more than just religion, but they have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So I appreciate everybody's prayers for that. And those that did show up and supported Miss Nancy, and that was a blessing. Far as tomorrow, unless there's crazy storms occurring, we're going to try to go out again. So just hold up some scripture signs from 6 to 7 over on Front Pine. It's supposed to be a little hot, but hopefully God will give us grace and people get dealt with about their souls. And then another announcement to make, Chris Mitchell, he's supposed to be flying in here soon, but he asked me to mention this Saturday, August 28th. I guess he's having a moving pod being shipped back from San Francisco. He's asking if anybody's able to maybe help him out Saturday, August 28th. He's thinking around 10 o'clock. He's not quite sure yet to unload the boxes he's got into a garage. So if anybody's wanting to help, that'll be Saturday, August 28th. And I also like to read this prayer letter from Brother Jonathan. It says, it is a blessing to know you are praying for us as we press on. Sometimes the labor is difficult and the trials are heavy, but we can still rejoice in God's peace and grace. Our ministries with Tyler's church have been going well. Christy continues to help with Sunday school, and I translate for the Sunday morning church service. If you are interested in watching the live stream of Sunday morning services, you can check it out on our church YouTube channel. Here's the link. He gives the link. And you can also check it out on the church Facebook page. I did listen to one of the sermons that was translated, but it seems like he's got some things going on over there that he's battling and dealing with, even within the church. So he says, thank you for praying for the day camp at Tyler's church. It went extremely well. The kids, including the ones we brought, were very well behaved and enjoyed it. Four of the team boys from the church were leaders for these teams, and I was very impressed with how well they interacted with the kids and led their teams. I was surprised when the leaders of the teams were called, and none of them were adults. They did a very good job. We brought five children from the Gypsy neighborhood area, and three children used to be neighbors to my parents. There is a picture attached of Corey with his team at the day camp. We praise the Lord that He gave us a great day and that over 40 children heard the Word of God. Our services are going pretty well. Gina, Marina, and Yaron, Marina's unsaved husband, continue to come regularly. Several children have come to some of our children's classes, and there have been a few times in the kids' classes with just our kids, as none of Marina or Gina's grandchildren came. Gina's mother-in-law, who used to frequent our services but was out of the country for a while, is back in Romania. She has been coming to our services as well. It is wonderful to have my sister, Joanna White, and her little Esther come for a visit for about a week. The plan was for the whole family to visit, but for several reasons that wasn't possible. But we were very glad to have them here, and our people were so glad and happy to see them. The Gypsy neighborhood continues to decline more and more spiritually. Several of the people there who used to have regular jobs have now quit, as it is easier to just go out and steal. That's going to occur here, if not already, soon enough. You watch. I was talking to Brother Glenn. I saw a news article, video, what's going on down in South Africa. I'm telling you, it's coming to the United States. It is coming to the United States. You have a generation you cannot control. And I saw it in the juvenile system, and it's this mindset that's being permeated, not only there, but as they go back out to the communities again, of mob rule. Yep. You see, you can't stop a mob. And I saw that when I was down in Haiti. You get a mob of people together, a couple of thousand people marching down the streets, 10 cops isn't going to stop it. Okay? You can have guns and shoot, but you ain't got no 1,000 bullets. So you got mob rule, it starts taking place, you got problems, and they got a mess down there in South Africa right now. Same thing, it seems like he's happening here with the Gypsy neighborhood. It says there is partying pretty much all day and all night, every day. And by partying, I mean super loud music that can be heard throughout the entire village, drinking, dancing, etc. Poor Mariana has been suffering badly, hardly getting a few hours of sleep before she gets up to go to work at 4 a.m. The police in our townships are a joke, don't seem to care about justice or upholding law and peace in our community. If they are called to the gypsy neighborhood, the music might get turned down for a few minutes until the police leave. One of our officers even told them not to call anymore unless someone kills someone. Unfortunately, that just happened. The brother of one of the guys in that neighborhood killed a man in the city because they had seen him at the bank and assumed that he had a large withdrawal. The man happened to have only $5 on him. Thankfully, it seems like the guy who murdered him will get a prison sentence. It is a pity the police only seem to care about justice if a life is lost, and sometimes not even then. One thing I'll say about that too, about the police system there. There's a lot of corruption within the police systems in other countries as well. So listen, if you speak up on something, that now means your family's now in justice or in jeopardy. Yep. Not necessarily the police don't want to do something, but they got somebody whispering in their ear saying, hey, if you say something, guess what? You still want your wife? A lot of corruption. Mariana told us Sunday that fights happen often in the area, complete with knives and hatchets. The other week, when I dropped off Mariana and Ion at their house, I stayed in the car for a few minutes while Aileen, Mariana's son, gave me his phone number. One of the guys that was partying opened our passenger's car door and started yelling vulgarities at me to leave. I was rather dumbfounded as I tried to figure out if I was in another car's way that might be trying to get by, but there were no other cars around. Apparently, he just wanted to yell at me and said something about the repenter. This is what many people call Christians here. It is often used in a derogatory way. Mariana asked him later, when he was not drunk anymore, if he was ashamed of what he did, and he had no shame or regrets. Hopefully, this gives you an idea of some things we are dealing with. Please pray for our safety and our health. We need the Lord's protection. Please pray for protection for Mariana and her family also. May the Lord bless you for your part in God's work here. Thank you for continuing to pray for us and stand with us. In this service, Jonathan, Christy, Corey, and Marcy. So please keep him in prayer.
For our last song, if you would turn with me to page 249, while standing, sing, "The Comforter Has Come." Page 249.
Roll, playing the joyful sound, the comforter. Does anybody have any prayer requests tonight?
Brain
today, and to keep his mom in prayer, Patty Joe, his wife Trish, his children, and also Rick. None of them are saved. And also for the doctors, just to continue to have wisdom and guidance on how to handle his situation with the cancer, and obviously with this operation on his brain today. Does anybody else have anything that they'd like to bring up, Ms. Donna? So keep the family in prayer for the funeral on Friday for Nick, Mike Hoover's brother-in-law, and Johan and Julia still suffering with a bad cough from the sickness they had. So,
May and
June too. So keep them in prayer with all they got going on there with feeling sick.
And Alita Harris.
Ms. Donna sent me a text last night. She's not doing well again. Back in ICU, and they were going to try to do another biopsy on her heart to see if it's being rejected. And something, wasn't something with her lungs?
They were going to check for pneumonia.
So that they were wondering if that was having something to do with having to put her back in ICU. So just keep her in prayer and her family and sons. Keep Randy Hurst in prayer. He's battling COVID in the hospital, been fighting it for a while now. So keep him in prayer that God would help him out. Does anybody else have anything?
I would like prayer for traveling mercies for Fred, myself, and our son and his family. That God would just give my precious husband a calm spirit, heart, and mind.
Amen.
Traveling the distance.
You're still going down to South Carolina, right? It's a good state. So pray for the Hellies and their families. They travel down to South Carolina for a little vacation, travel, mercies, and grace. I think it gets a little calm once you get down past Richmond. It's just getting down past Richmond. That's the problem. But amen. We'll keep you in prayer as they travel down there. Does anybody else? I thought I saw one more hand. No? Nobody else has anything? All right. Amen. All right, we're going to continue. I know last week I took a little detour, but we're going to continue back on our study in 2 Peter. And Second Peter chapter number. Let's get some stuff out here. Second Peter, Second Peter chapter 2. You know, there's a brother in the Lord, I like listening to him a lot, and he's doing a study through Daniel, so I've been listening to some of it. And he was talking about how, you know, individuals were, you know, there's so many people that are concerned, and people dive in and all about Antichrist and spending time with Jesus Christ. And he was talking about how, you know, a lot of people say, well, how in the world can the Antichrist come in and, you know, do what he's going to do? And, well, the spirit of Antichrist is already here.
Sure. Right.
What's the Antichrist going to do? He's going to exalt himself. Right? He's going to exalt himself. And I'm here to tell you tonight, too, I'm not going to do a study on it, but the COVID shot is not the mark of the beast.
No.
Okay?
No way.
Read your Bibles, and I'm not being sarcastic, I'm not saying it to you. Read your Bibles. In order for the mark of the beast to even be put forth, the Antichrist has to be the one putting it forth. And there's also going to be an image that's going to be built, and you're going to have to fall down and worship the image. As far as I know, there's no image, and as far as I know, there's no man right now claiming to be an Antichrist. And as far as I know, the temple has not been built over in Jerusalem. So, though I believe it's precursors of what's coming, I believe it's setting people up for the mindset of what's coming. I do not believe the COVID shot is the mark of the beast. I believe personally the mark of the beast is something you're going to see and you're going to be identified with. It's going to be on your hand or on your forehead, and people are going to know immediately whose side you're on.
Yes,
because if you read on later, God's going to mark his people in the forehead. So there's lines going to be drawn and all that, and that's 3.5 years into the tribulation.
Yep.
The tribulation has not started yet. Hate to burst the bubble of Christians out there, but we're not in the tribulation yet.
That's right. Come on.
It's Revelation chapter 13. We're not there yet, but people want to put it forward. This is the mark of the beast, blah, blah. Be more concerned about what's in the Bible.
Amen.
And what I mean by that is you know, and I love this preacher, the way he preaches, because he's so right. It's easy to come to church and learn those things, and I think there's a proper time and place for them. But when it comes to attitudes and it comes to conducting yourself with good Christian character, that don't matter. As long as I know how many toes Leviathan's got, I'm good with God. I'm not being funny. I mean, I'm serious. A lot of Christians think, well, if I got this, I got all this head knowledge, but it does nothing affects their attitudes in there and the way they conduct themselves as a Christian. What does it matter what the head knowledge you have if you're not applying it in your life?
Come on.
And so you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Christianity, and I'm talking as a whole now. I'm not talking about independent Baptists. I'm talking about Christianity as a whole. We've lost it because we've turned our back on this right here. Now, I like to try to do research when I have time to try to do research and look into things. And has anybody in here ever heard of a woman named Virginia Malincott? Probably not. Virginia Malincott played a huge, from a little, I don't even want to read about her because she makes me sick. Just leave it at that. But I did do some research on her. Virginia Malincott's Women, Men, and the Bible Shaped My Life. The lesbian evangelical scholar bravely shared her views of God and love. Now this woman writes this Amy Frycomb writes this article about Virginia Malincott, and this is what she says. When biblical scholar, feminist, and lesbian evangelical Virginia Ramsey Malincott died last fall, this was written back in May, my father forwarded me her New York Times obituary and reminded me that she had a profound effect on his life. I didn't need reminding. In the spring of 1988, the summer before my junior year in high school, he handed me a copy of Malincott's book, Women, Men, and the Bible. If I remember correctly, he said something like, "Don't let anyone else tell you what is in here. Read it for yourself." I had the sense of being handed something important, but also secret. Maybe even potentially dangerous. The feeling of being invited into a society. My adolescent mind instantly divided the world into people who read Virginia Malincott and people who tell you not to. I'm telling you, don't read it. I read it voraciously, passionately. I had all but memorized it. To this day, I can recite key arguments that leap off the page into my adolescent life. Jesus boldly pictured God as a woman. Genesis 1 is not a prescription for female and male identity. It is a description of the world men and women inhabit. Genesis 1 is not a prescription for female and male identity. It is a description of the world men and women inhabit. Mollenkopf was an evangelical, and so was I. This label allowed her into my life. In a world that divided people into safe and unsafe, us and them, she was one of us. But in truth, there was nothing safe about Virginia Mollenkopf. She was born into a Plymouth Brethren family, and when she fell in love with an older woman, her mother sent her to a Christian boarding school to end the relationship. Later, at Bob Jones University, she continued to struggle with her sexuality and identity and self-understanding. She confessed to a professor that she loved women. She's teaching at Bob Jones University. Brethren, look, there's some good Christian colleges out there, some good Christian institutions, but they're far and few between. What is the pillar and ground of the truth? What's the pillar and ground of truth? The local church. The local church. You want to train up young men and women to go out and do the ministry of God? Train them up in the local church. Because you start getting yourself into a mess. Here you got a woman preaching or teaching at Bob Jones University, confessed to a professor that she loved women. And she's teaching an independent Baptist church or a Bible college. She obeyed. Oh, well, the professor said, she confessed to a professor that she loved women. The professor urged her to get married right away. I'm going to try to stay calm. She obeyed. The marriage did not last, and during the 1970s, now Mollenkopf, she began to write about Christianity, gender, and sexuality in ways that would profoundly impact my life. Women, Men, and the Bible, which sits on my shelf with its light blue cover and its male and female symbols, has survived many book purges. I keep it because it represents a liberating movement in my development. It reminds me of the way a book can walk into your life and set you free. What about the Bible?
Yeah.
What about God's Word? You say, preacher, why are you reading this tonight? Why aren't we in the Bible? Because the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, But there were false prophets, and among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. This is one of those false prophets. She says, when I look at this book now and see my adolescence handwriting in its margins, I realize there is nothing particularly radical about it. It argues, for example, that Christian women ought not to be excluded by referring to Christians as sons or brothers. It argues that God ought not to be thought of as male or female. The power of the book for me, perhaps, was less about it shaped my mind and more about how it shaped my life. I read it deeply and completely. I poured it into my veins. It became part of me. The way few books ever have. Transgender Virginia Mollenkopf. Transgender lesbian Virginia Ramsey Mollenkopf, PhD, professor of LGBT and feminist theology, and author of queer books such as Transgender Journeys, Omnigender, and The Divine Feminine, in which Mollenkopf interprets the name El Shaddai as the God of the Breasts, was a statistics consultant to the New International Version. You know why I don't use an NIV? She helped translate some of the NIV. And you know what she had? You know what she had to where she did an NIV? She took out the word sodomite in the NIV Bible. Instead put in male prostitute. She took out the word effeminate in the NIV and put in there male prostitutes. You know why I don't use new versions? You know why I only use the King James Bible? Do we need any more reasoning? You wonder why we have transgenderism going on? This is a woman influencing, quote unquote, the church, having influences on new Bible versions. You know why you take out the pronouns? Because God's a female. And listen, brethren, I'm telling you this stuff right here, and we wonder why we're in the mess we're in today. Because we've taken a book and we've flushed it down a toilet. We're watering everything down to make it easier for us to understand rather than get a hold of God.
Amen.
That's good.
Brethren, my preacher said it back home, and I'm starting to see with it now. I'm not playing games. No, I'm not playing. It's too late in the game to be playing games. Too late in the game. Too late in the game. We want to play games. There's other places to play games. It's too late. It's too late in this thing called life to play games with God. And the last couple months for me is just hitting home. Every funeral I do, it's even more of a weight on my shoulders to realize this is the end of all men. This is the end of all men. It's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. This is the end of all men. That funeral, all these funerals doing, and that casket there and a body in it, that is the end of all of us. So you say, preacher, what do? We live for God while God's given us breath to live.
Amen.
Brethren, there is nothing more I want to try to live for than for God. Because the more I try to taste, the more I try to see, the more I realize it's futile and it's just going through my fingertips. The word here in 2 Peter chapter 2 says this in verse number 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, which means destructive ways. You know how many women and how many young girls this wicked woman has influenced within the church? You know why you got problems in churches? Because women think they run churches now. You know why a lot of preachers don't say the things? Because they're afraid of their wife.
Yep.
You know why a lot of husbands don't do the things? Because they're afraid of their wife. They're afraid of what their wife's going to say. And I'm not here tonight to bash women. I love my wife. And I love women. But I'm saying there's a proper order in the Bible. When you flush the Bible down the toilet, you lose that proper order to where a man's now being a woman's now being a man, a child's now being a parent's being a child. You got disorder.
Great.
I know it's not popular to preach it, but it's Bible. This woman makes me sick. How many young, precious girls she's influenced with her nonsense and damnation. God is not a female.
Amen.
God is not feminine nowhere in the Bible. He's masculine.
Yes, sir.
God created a man. Then he created the woman to be a helpmeet, a suitable help for Adam. A woman was created to help the man. That's Bible. It's not the other way around. And we've lost our minds today in our society. We say, well, how can these things happen? Because of women like this that we allow to creep in and influence us. What is she doing at Bob Jones University?
Yeah.
Did anybody have any discernment when they hired her? Brethren, this stuff stirs me up. And I say this because God help us to get back to the Bible.
Amen.
God help us to get back to what His Word says and what God's established. Look at verse number 3. We're going to spend a few moments right here tonight in verse number 3. Start in verse 2, you talk about you got your false prophets, your false teachers, verse 1. They're going to bring damnable heresies. Verse 2 comes in saying, many, the Bible says many are going to follow their destructive or pernicious ways. And then not only are many going to follow them, but they're going to speak evil of those that speak the truth. And then that takes us into verse number 3, which says, and how are they going to do this? And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. The Bible says here, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Take your Bible and look over at Romans chapter 16 and verse number 17. Romans chapter 16, verse number 17. Now in these next 15 to 20 minutes here, I'm going to go through a lot of scripture. If you want the references, because you can't turn there fast enough, come up to me later and I'll give you the references. But I'm going to be cruising through some of these scriptures here so that we get a picture of what we're facing in the last days that we're living in. That you're going to have many false prophets, false teachers, deceivers, trying to bring in damnable heresies and turning away people from the truth. Look at Romans 16, verse number 17. Paul says here, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrines which ye have learned. So if individuals come into the church or into our assembly and they bring in divisions and offenses contrary to what we try to teach and what we believe, you need to mark them. You need to point them out, and they need to be dealt with. And not only that, the Bible says in the latter part of verse 17, and avoid them. Be careful if you spend time with somebody and they try to cause division. Brethren, I'm serious. You invite somebody over for dinner and all of a sudden they want to start talking about somebody else and about this person here. I want to talk about that person there. What do you think about the preacher, what he's doing here? What do you think about that right there? Avoid them.
Yep.
Avoid them like the plague. Verse 18, for they that are such, who are they? Verse 17, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. All they're concerned about is themselves. And by good words, look how they deceive. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of God's words will give you understanding, and then it says it will give you light. It's bringing in light, and it's going to give understanding unto the simple. Well, who is deceived by these individuals? Those who are simple, who do not know their Bibles. They're going to creep in, and they're going to bring in damnable heresies. Take your Bible, look over at 2 John, all the way back right before Revelation. 2 John, and I want you to look at verse number 1. 2 John and verse number, well, for sake of time, down to verse number 4. 2 John, verse 4. 2 John and verse number 4. Bible says here in 2 John 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is the love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is his commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Verse 7 now. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not, here's those words again, those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Many deceivers, look, John's talking about this back then. Where are we at today, especially with the technology we have? Where are we at? Look, if John on the Isle of Patmos wrote Revelation as God revealed it to him, he writes these three letters. If he's saying at his time, some 2,000 years ago, there's many deceivers, where are we at today? Especially, I'll say it again, with the technology we have to where you can spread a rumor or a doctrine within seconds and it can be gone worldwide within seconds. A million people could see it within seconds. Where are we at with deception now? Take your Bible, look over at Matthew chapter number 7. The book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13. Matthew 7 verse 13. And through covetous shall they make with feigned words make merchandise of you. Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13. He says, enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus is telling his followers 2,000 years ago, he says, enter in at the straight gate. But Jesus says, one thing I want you to realize is that many people are going to take the broad way which leads to destruction, and few there be are going to go down that narrow way.
The old paths.
That's exactly it. The old paths. Few are going to find it. But look at verse 15. He goes on to say, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone, this is Jesus talking, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Then Jesus says in verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Those are some of the scariest passages in the Bible. To where you can have a group of individuals out there that claim to know the Lord, claim to do the work of the Lord, so much so that they're casting out devils, they're prophesying, and they're doing wonderful works, and Jesus someday is going to look at them and say, I never knew you. We're not talking about the bartender down here at Fossils. We're not talking about the drug dealer or the heroin dealer downtown Allentown. We're talking about somebody who claims to know Jesus, preaching some type of gospel, doing some type of good work, and Jesus someday looking at him saying, I never knew you. Ye shall know them by their fruits. You know who the top preacher is in the world and how much money he's worth? Kenneth Copeland. $300 million to his account. Ye shall know them by the fruit. How many millions did Jesus have? Brethren, you shall know them by the fruit. If the creator of the universe comes to earth, becomes man, yet God at the same time, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, there was no room for him at the inn. We're not talking about some popular king that's his wife, the queen's getting ready to give birth and they're traveling through Bethlehem and they don't have no place for him. We're talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're talking about the one who spoke all things into existence and there's no place even for him to be born. And after he's born, he's laid in a manger around animals. Jesus. He looks at one time and he says, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not nowhere to lay his head. And you're going to justify your $300 million? Brethren, there ain't nothing wrong with having money. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, but what do you do with it? $300 million? And listen, I've been down to Haiti. There's a lot you could do with $300 million down there in Haiti. I've been to 5 countries in Africa. There's a lot of things you can do in those 5 countries for kids in Africa with $300 million. David Oladipo, $150 million. Pat Robertson, $100 million. Benny Hinn, $60 million. Joel Osteen, $40 million to his account. Creflo Dollar, $27 million. Rick Warren, $25 million. Jesse Duplantis, $20 million. T.D. Jakes, $18 million. I say they're doing pretty good. Look back over at 2 Peter, chapter number 2, and verse number 3. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse number 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you.
That's right.
I just listed 10 of them.
I just
listed 10 of them. Feigned word. Look, through covetousness. You know why people give them money, all that money? Because the people giving are just as covetous as a preacher preaching it.
That's right.
They're hoping to get it. They're hoping to get in there and get what he's got just as much as he wants what they got. They're all after money. You bless me and I'll bless you and hopefully God will bless us all and we'll all have a wonderful life. endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Brethren, these things don't line up. These teachings don't line up with the Word of God. Peter gives warning to the church. He says, through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. You send us $50 and I'll send you a handkerchief that can heal you. Come on now. Or I'll send you a little bottle of water. You sprinkle it on your wrist and you won't be sick for 60 days. And you know what? Every 5 seconds we'll flash up how you can pay us by credit card if you don't get cash.
Yeah, that's right. Lord have mercy.
Brethren. I don't say it arrogantly. I don't. But one of the reasons I love this church is because of that little brown box back there. By God's grace, as long as I'm here as your preacher, I'm never going to beg for no money. You want to give? There's the box. I don't even want to know what anybody gives. Unless I have to, I don't even like to see what's in the bank account. I know I do as a pastor, there's a responsibility for it, but I just want to preach the gospel. You give, you give. You don't, you don't. If all of a sudden the people at the church, the members came to church, they preach and we can't afford to support you no more, then I guess I'm going to look for a job. You do what you got to do. That's between you and God. That's one of the reasons why I love this church. That's one of the reasons why I came here. It's not about money. We need power with God. Brethren, I believe this is all my... God, help me to believe it, Lord. I believe it. Help me to. Who did Jesus point out to the treasury? That widow woman who gave 2 mites. You know why God could do something with that widow's 2 mites? Because that's all she had. You know what God wants from you? All you got. He don't want your money. What He's looking for you is to give your all. And that's what that widow got to that point. Said, God, I'm giving you everything I got. Lord, just help me. Here it is, God. The last 2 mites I have in my pocket. But Lord, I know it's right. I got to give it to you. And Jesus, look how long Jesus, for 2,000 years, this story of this precious widow is being preached. You want to talk about running around a church? This widow woman, who nobody even knows her name, a man 2,000 years later on Race Street in Catasauqua, Pennsylvania, is talking about her. Because she was willing to give 2 mites. And who got rebuked? The ones who gave of their abundance. And God's like, who cares if you give your abundance? You can give it because you got it. This woman didn't have it and she gave it. You want power of God? Give God your all. Get along with God and say, God, here I am. Do what you want with me. God, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, Lord, here I am. Lord, help me to be a full, willing vessel that you can use for your glory and for your honor. And God says, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for your talents. I'm not looking to see if you can sing. I'm not looking to see if you got $1 million in your bank account. I'm not looking to see if you're dressed good. God says, I'm looking at the heart. I'm looking at the heart. I'm looking at humility. I'm looking at faithfulness. I'm looking at love and charity and goodness. God says these things are important. And if these things be in you, I believe there'll be less of a chance of you being deceived by some preacher who just wants nothing but your money.
Yeah.
You keep your money. I don't need your money. And I say that as your preacher. If I ever get crazy enough and dumb enough in my head and I start talking about money, one of you come up and you hit me. Miss Burt, now you behave now. I said, remember what I said, that little asterisk. No, I'm just messing with Miss Burt. I love her. I can just see her coming up out of pop. Hit me for what you said. I know Miss Burt. So look, money, if I ask for your money, you have permission. Brethren, there's a lot going on in this world that's grieving. But I still serve a living Savior.
Yes, sir.
And I believe God can still move. And I believe God's still got power. And I believe God can do something.
Amen.
Because there's still lost souls out there. There's still individuals out there, I believe, especially in the younger generation, that's going to get to a point, I think it's already there, they're going to look for some truth. I believe it. There's a younger generation being raised up right now that has no clue about God, no clue about Jesus Christ, and they've tried everything, they looked at everything, they've tried every gender, they've tried every drug, they've tried every alcohol, and nothing's satisfying them. And I believe there's going to be a group of individuals out there right before the Lord takes us home, and I believe it's going to be some of the younger generation that God's going to get a hold of and maybe save their souls. Because they don't know no different. The kids I worked with for 6 years, they didn't know no different. I had boys come in there and girls come in there, never even knew what a Bible was. Didn't even know who Jesus was. They had no clue about nothing. And I believe God gave them opportunities to hear the truth. And through covetous shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now a long time. Look, this has been going on for a while now. This ain't something new. It's been going on for ages. Whose judgment now a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So far in the book of 2 Peter, you have false prophets and teachers. They work privily and secretly. They bring in damnable heresies. Their ways are destructive. They speak evil of the truth. They work through covetousness. They have feigned words. And they use and abuse Christians. Look at Isaiah 56, 9 and 12. Isaiah 56, verses 9 through 12. Isaiah 56, 9 through 12. Isaiah 56, verse number 9. All ye beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain. From his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch you wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Talking about false watchmen, false prophets, even back in the days of Isaiah. They're dogs, dumb dogs, that cannot bark. Why would you have a dog bark? When you usually have a dog and he barks, usually he's trying to warn you of something. And some dogs' barks are pretty fierce. But if you hear a dog barking, it's pretty fierce. Usually it gets your attention. Let's just take this example for a second. Now, I used to deliver mail. I used to work for the post office. And some yards that you got to deliver mail, usually the front yard, some of them had a gate on it. Now, usually when I was delivering mail and I saw a yard that had a gate on it, usually I looked for signs that said, beware of dog. Or else, why would you have a gate? So one time I went in this area and I went in to deliver this package and knocked on the door and a lady opened the door and all of a sudden this halfway decent sized dog. Rah, 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 rah. Now I love dogs. I've always had dogs. And I like dogs. He come running up and I was like, yeah, he's serious. This dog's serious. She's like, oh, he won't bite. He snuck out the door and he bit my rear end. Now, I had grace, because my first instinct was, now, I'm going to kick little pooch. But he bit me. He jumped up. Bam! She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, oh, it's all right, you know. But if a dog starts barking, my ears perk up, especially if he's in my area. Dogs bark to protect. Dogs bark because there's something going on. Unless they're a little annoying. If anybody's got one of these, I'm sorry. But unless they got one of these a little annoying chihuahuas who think they can take on the world. All right? Save your little bark. You ain't what you think you are, son. Okay? Now, if you're a German Shepherd, Rottweiler, a Doberman Pinscher, Mastiff, okay, I'll listen to your bark. A little chihuahua, please just leave me alone. I'm talking about a dog now. Dog. If he barks, you listening. That's what preachers need to be. Look what it says in Isaiah. His watchmen. Who are the watchmen? God's preachers. They are all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. It means they don't bark. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. What kind of dogs are they? What kind of dogs are they, God? Verse number 11. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. Brethren, Peter tells us to be aware of false prophets and false teachers who will try to creep in. And we'll get some of those verses next week. Creep in, deceive, bring in damnable heresies, trying to destroy the church, and if not able to destroy it, to drain the power out of it. Who will bring division, bring strife, lead men away in their own lust. We need to be wary of that. 2,000 years later, we need to take heed to it. We need to make sure that we stay true to God's Word. To God's Word alone. Stay true to God's Word. Know God's Word. Study God's Word. Memorize God's Word. Know what the Bible says. And that'll keep us from being deceived by these false prophets and teachers. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. Lord, help us, dear God. Lord, I believe as we go further on, dear God, these days will get darker and darker, dear God. Upside down, Lord. The way up is down. The way down is up. Lord, we're in a generation today where evil's called good and good's called evil. Lord, help us, dear God, to stay true to the truth contained in your word. God, help us to have the right order of things. Lord, help our hearts to be tender to receive what you'd have for us, Lord. And not only to receive it, but to apply it. God, help us to apply these things, dear God. Help us to have ears to hear, eyes to see. Lord, help us as a church, dear God, keep us from deception. Lord, keep us from false teachers and prophets, Lord, who may try to creep in, dear God, and bring in damnable heresies. Lord, help us to stay true. Help the precious brethren tonight, dear God. Lord, I know a lot's going on, a lot of heaviness, dear Lord, a lot of heaviness. People fighting, people battling, dear God, just spiritual battles, health battles. Lord, loss of loved ones, dear God, help us. Lord, help us to stay faithful. Lord, help us through our times of discouragement. Lord, times where we feel like just giving up, help us through it, dear God, I pray. Lord, just to love you more. And Lord, help us. Lord, I pray for the rest of this week. Help the brethren, Lord, to realize how much you love them, how much you care for them. And Lord, help us just to continue to walk with thee. Lord, I just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So as we get ready, for those that will stay for prayer, again, I'm going to try to do a little something different tonight. So it's 8 o'clock now. Brother Glenn and Craig and Jim, do you three have watches?
Yes. No, I don't.
You don't? All right. So this is what I'd like to do. I'd like those that will stay, we're going to pray. And then at like 8:15, Brother Jim, can you pray? Brother Craig, can you pray? And Brother Glenn, can you close us out at 8:15? All right. So we'll spend some time here in prayer. And then at 8:15, we're going to close it out with that. Okay. So let's go ahead and take these things to the Lord in prayer.